China's trade relationships with the U.S. and Europe are under fire.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics around the world and how it affects us here in the United States. Today, the Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner testifies before the Senate Banking Committee. He's going to say China's currency is purposely undervalued to boost its exports. Needless to say, that's been responsible for the outsourcing of American jobs. The blame game is a huge election year issue. Europeans, meanwhile, are grappling with what to do about the cheap costs of Chinese goods. The EU, I should say, claims fiberglass is being unfairly dumped into its markets. So today, the EU voted to tack on a huge tariff on the material, up from a 7% duty to more than 50% to offset the threat of jobs and production losses there. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is covering that story for us, and he has the latest. He's live with us now from London. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
A fiberglass, really? I mean, how big an issue is this?
Well, it is a lightweight material after all. It's not a huge industry. I mean, they use this in to make composites for wind turbines, car bodies, ship hulls and so on. Not a gigantic market in Europe. It's worth about $1.5 billion a year. The Chinese have 15% of that market, but that's double what they had a couple of years ago. And the Europeans say they've grabbed that market share by dumping their products below cost price on the European market. I would say this is a symbolically important case. It puts the spotlight on EU-China trade relations. It shows the US isn't the only trade partner having trouble with the Chinese.
Yeah, we know, Stephen, about the trade deficit the US has with China, but what's the situation between China and the EU?
The EU's deficit is $160 billion a year. That's less than America's deficit, but it's growing. And there's the same kind of frustration here as in the US with the Chinese for allegedly holding down their currency, dumping cheap products, and its claim not appreciating that by not opening up their own markets more and stimulating their own consumer demand, they could be jeopardizing the global recovery. So EU-China trade relations definitely deteriorating.
And is this, Stephen, the beginnings of a trade war?
Too soon, I think, to talk about a trade war, but tensions are definitely building. Simon Tilford of the Center for European Reform says we probably can expect quite a few more measures like this extra tariff on fiberglass.
The Chinese, I think, need to acknowledge that the Europeans and the Americans now feel that they have pretty much exhausted other avenues and that they feel that they're going to have to adopt tougher measures against the Chinese authorities.
This week, a Chinese think tank warned that the U.S. would come off worse in a trade war with China. Tilford says that's nonsense. He says since China has upset both of its two biggest markets, it has the most to lose.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard reporting from London. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
Let's do the numbers. European markets are off at the moment, generally under 0.5%. Asian shares closed mostly lower today as well. Wall Street yesterday, some modest gains. The NASDAQ and S&P were up. The Dow added just under 0.5%, 46 points to close at 10,572.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the new Rosetta Stone, introducing their latest advancement in language learning, version 4 Totali. Information at rosettastone.com/APM. By Constant Contact Email Marketing, providing small businesses and nonprofits with personal coaches to help them succeed. ConstantContact.com. And by Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at vanguard.com/public radio.
The nation's birth rate dropped last year for a second year in a row, and according to the National Center for Health Statistics, the number of U.S. births in 2009 was at the lowest level in a century. Experts say the economy has a lot to do with that, people just not wanting to start families with so much uncertainty. Dr. Megan Sweeney is a sociologist at UCLA in California. She's here to talk about it. Good morning.
No problem. Happy to be here.
In what ways does the economy dictate whether people have children?
First of all, I guess I'd back up and say that it's difficult to know exactly what's causing the change in birth rates at any given point in time. If you look historically over a long time period, birth rates tend to dip up or dip down, and it's difficult to know for sure that the economy is causing these changes. That said, there are a lot of reasons to think that they could be contributing factors. Children are expensive to raise. I have one myself. I know that's true. They also require care, and so often you'll have at least one one of the parents out of the labor market for a period of time, taking care of the child. In periods of economic instability, having two earners in the labor market can be a nice cushion. So that can be one of the reasons that people might choose to delay a birth.
What are some of the hazards of lower birth rates?
Well, I think we care about low birth rates because, all else equal, families having fewer children contributes to an aging population and a possible shortage of what demographers consider the all-important trifecta of workers, warriors, and consumers. And there's probably also some sense out there that people should be able to have the number of children that they want to have, particularly if they're willing and able to work to support them.
Have we seen this before, this kind of drop?
Yeah. So actually, if you look historically in the United States, there is a series of drops in the birth rate that coincide with recessionary periods. So the most dramatic one, obviously, is the Great Depression of the 1930s.
Right.
Fertility was low then. And then also we saw it, for example, in the early 1970s.
I can remember 10, 20 years ago, European countries were concerned about birth rates there, trying to get people to have kids again. Is this really a concern for our country?
Yeah, there's actually many European countries, Spain, Italy, France, have been very concerned about their low fertility and have been trying to come up with ways to encourage the members of their population to increase fertility. Of course, across all countries, the size of a population and its rate of growth depends not just on birth rates, but also on factors such as immigration patterns. And that's really important to keep in mind.
Dr. Megan Sweeney, Associate Professor of Sociology at UCLA, thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much.
And finally, a new study says first-person shooter games, you know, those really gory, violent video games, could actually be good for people. We're talking about games like Call of Duty.
Friendly spy plane inbound.
Researchers at the University of Rochester tested folks who had never played a shooting video game before. Half played a week's worth of the violent stuff. The other half played a more benign strategy video game. The study found that shooter games produced heightened sensitivity and more efficient use of people's senses, not to mention the ability to wage war from the most comfortable seat in the house. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.